I just know there's a lot of angry women out there that love to do the axe throwing. I just feel it. So what a great way to release some stress. So if you're interested in knowing more about the women's ministry, you can go once again on the website, riverchristian.church/women. You can go on our Facebook page. There's a women's Facebook page. Join that. You can stay up to speed on the latest news and happenings. Hey, we're excited because we cannot wait to rejoice and celebrate in the resurrection of Jesus Christ as Easter. Who's excited about Easter coming up in just a couple of weeks? It's going to be amazing. So next week we have our Easter outreach. We hope that you'll make sure you invite people there. It's going to happen right after third service, actually later on that afternoon, 3 to 5 next Sunday. And spread the word. We need candy. We need volunteers. You can hit that QR code to help us with that. On top of that, we have our Easter services that are happening that week starting at 7 o'clock on Thursday. And then we have two services on Saturday. I would encourage you, if you can come on Saturday, come on Saturday. We have a 4:30, 6 o'clock. If you like food, we got food there. I mean, who likes lobster? Who likes filet mignon? That's not going to be there, but it's going to be really good. So make sure you come to 4. We're trying to get you there on Saturday. And by the way, our best service of all of our Easter services last year was Saturday. I mean, it was just more energetic. It was amazing. So we hope that you'll look at those. On top of that, some of you are crazy enough. You love the 6 o'clock in the morning sunrise service. We got donuts there for that one. And that's happening at 6. Then we have 8:30, 10, and 11:30. We hope that you will spread the word. Do not come to Easter alone this year. Go ahead and start thinking about and praying about who is it I can invite to come to Easter with me. And it's an open door. So many more people are open to Easter coming than you could ever imagine. You just got to invite them. So we hope that you'll take advantage of that this Easter. On top of that, if you've never been baptized or you've never chosen your own self to be baptized, I want to encourage you to take that step. We have Baptism Week happening the week after Easter on April 24th and 27th at all four of our services Thursday at 7 p.m. If you can't be here on Sunday, we got that service. Then we have our 8:30, 10, 11:30. Baptism's happening, all the services. You can go ahead and QR code that on the screen, like which service I want to get baptized at. And you can also encourage you with this, and that is invite people to be there. It's amazing watching how God moves. So we're excited about God moving right now in our church family. Those who are committing and following Jesus, many of you are doing that right now, and we can't wait to join you in this journey. If you've been here to RCC longer than 2 weeks, you need to go to Welcome to RCC. It's happening next week at 10 a.m. right here in room 204. So you can come to 8:30 service or 11:30 service or go Thursday night. Be here at 10 for Welcome to RCC. That's a great next step. Right now, we're in a series right now having an honest conversation about mental health. We call it Weeds in My Garden. And it comes from a song from Kendall Inskeep. She wrote a song called Honest. And I think a lot of us can connect with the lyrics of the song. Here's what she wrote. She said these words. I tell you that I'm whole, but I'm still healing. I tell you that I'm happy, but I'm still grieving. Thought I was a fighter, I'm still in the fire. If I'm being honest, I'm not being honest. I'll give you roses, just hoping you don't see the weeds in my garden. And many of us, we're being honest right now. So much of the time, we're not being honest. We extend roses out to people because we don't want them seeing the weeds in our garden. And so throughout the series, we're using this phrase, weeds in my garden. We're using it as a metaphor to describe our mental health challenges. And oftentimes we do our best in hiding them because we don't want anybody knowing them. Because a lot of times what we do is we compare ourselves to everybody else. I mean, if you look around the room, everybody looks great. They look wonderful, good-looking people in the room. And you start thinking, oh, they've got their junk together. They've got their emotional and mental health and everything together. I'm the one who's struggling. And you feel like you're the only one. And so that's a lie, right? And so we need to stop comparing ourselves because here's the reality. Usually those who look like they got it together the most are actually, believe it or not, the ones who are probably struggling the most. That's just the reality. And so there's a phrase out there that we kind of have fun with. It's called the struggle is real. And I want you to look at this. The struggle is real. How about this one? Housewives know this is true. The struggle is real. You moms out there, you've seen this countless times. Why can't you take that extra 6 inches and get it there? This is my dog. Her name is Summer. And so when I take out, we go out fetching, I got mental health problems. The reason why is because she's got a struggle. Here's her struggle. I want him to throw the ball, but I don't want to give it to him. All right, that's her struggle. The struggle's real for her. How about this? I saw this with a dinosaur trying to get the hamburger. The struggle's real for him. And then my favorite one is this one. I want a hot body, but also want tacos. So that's the struggle. Struggle's real, right? So, and so here's the reality. If you haven't figured this out yet, if you missed last week's message, go back, because here's the reality. A lot of times we take this lie, and the lie is this: I'm the only one. I'm the only one. And the reason why we think that is because we look around everybody else and we compare their outsides, right? How they look on the outside, their roses, to what's going on in our insides, right? In our weeds, in our garden. They look like they've got it together. I know I don't. And that makes us feel like we are alone. But the reality is most of us, all of us, have or know someone right now who's struggling with mental health challenges as we speak. And when it comes to mental health, we talked about this last week, relationships, listen, are indispensable to mental health. I mean, if there's anything the last 5 years since COVID has taught us, is that isolation and social distancing only grows the weeds in our garden. Even Jesus needs relationships. So that's why we encourage you here at RCC to be in relationships, to be in community. We're going to challenge you with that. We're going to encourage you with that, because you cannot grow spiritually alone. You have to do it with others. So we have life groups here. We have all kinds of ministries like Celebrate Recovery, Grief Share, Divorce Care, Community Bible Studies, CORE happens. I mean, there's all kinds of amazing Bible studies taking place in community groups for you to get involved in and to serve in. You need that. On top of that, there's a complex root system to the weeds in our gardens, right? We talked about the four buckets last week. They're situational. What happened in Asia with the earthquake is a situation. And think about this, man. Building those buildings back is going to take a ton of work. But more than building the buildings back in Asia is going to do the mental health that needs to be done to help those who've gone through that trauma. Then there is the biological. Some of us have hereditary issues when it comes to predispositions towards depression. Some of us, it is medical, clinical. We need professional help, maybe counseling, maybe therapy, maybe medication. Then there's the spiritual. This involves the matters of the soul and matters of faith, which leads me to say this. Jesus really cares about the weeds in your garden. He really does. When you look at the Bible, he's constantly going to people who are hurting, whether they're demon-possessed or they're epileptic, and he's going there to heal them. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to get real practical, talking about worry and stress, burnout, depression, suicide, all kinds of things. But before we do that, I want to also mention this, is that our very last message in the series is going to be called It's Not Over. And so we're encouraging you to go ahead and grab one of these bracelets when you're on your way out the door. Make sure you grab one, even if you're a guest visiting from out of town, because this right here, we want you to join us in praying for the series. We also want you to be thinking about who can I give this bracelet to invite them to join me in this journey as we go through the month of April and May together. And on top of that, I want you to know that with Jesus Christ, no matter how bad, how dark it gets, it's never over with Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, he's always with you. Don't give up, because he has not given up on you. I was at a gas station this past week. I like tacos and I like M&Ms, okay? And so I was buying some M&Ms there. And all of a sudden, the lady, you know, took my credit card. And when she reached out her credit card, I saw that bracelet on her arm. And I was on the phone. I was like, you know, look, and let's give each other a fist bump. And, you know, it's just kind of encouraging when you see those bracelets in our community that, hey, we go to church family, but we're also on this journey together. Okay, so wear that and be praying about that. So once again, Jesus really cares about the weeds in your garden. Now today, because Jesus cares about the weeds in your garden, I want to dive to the spiritual root, because here's the reality. A lot of times churches can just get into the habit of just dealing with it spiritually, and they totally void out the medical, the biological, and even the situational. But the flip side is also true, and that is sometimes we can be in danger to recognize some areas of our mental health have a very much a spiritual dimension. So this message is called The Lies That We Believe. Because if we're going to take a holistic approach to mental health, we need to look at the spiritual. So the number one takeaway I want to say to you today is this. You have a spiritual enemy who is the father of lies. You have a spiritual enemy who is the father of lies. Whether you realize it or not, whether you believe it or not, right now you have a very real enemy in the spiritual world whose name is Satan. And he's doing everything in his power to take you away from God. And he attacks your mind in all four of these categories all the time. And some of you are like, oh, are you telling me that you believe that Satan exists? Are you telling me that? I absolutely believe he exists. I really do. I know it's easy to dismiss him because of all the jokes that we share and all the skits, like Saturday Night Live skits that make fun of him. It's kind of easy to not take his existence seriously. I told you the story about the wife who went to get a dress. She didn't mean to buy the dress, but she was there at the store and she bought a $500 dress. She comes home, tells her husband. He's like, are you kidding me? Why would you buy that dress? She says, it's because I was trying it on. It looked so good. It's like Satan was whispering to me in the dressing room, like, you look really good in that dress. You ought to buy it. And the husband says, well, you should have done what the Bible says. The Bible says you ought to say, get behind me, Satan. She said, I did. I said, get behind me, Satan. And he said, wow, it looks good from the back too. And we tell these jokes all the time about Satan. Sometimes we don't take him seriously. And I don't know if you remember the movie Usual Suspects, if you know, around the 90s like I was. But there's a line in that movie from a character named Kaiser. Look what he said. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he did not exist. That's the greatest trick he pulls. But the Bible tells us this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against those people over there, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In this world, we can't see all the spiritual forces at work, but they are at play in everything, and they're constantly working against you. And you need to be aware of their schemes. In fact, Jesus tells us what Satan's all about when he says in John 8, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, but there is no truth in him. When he lies, Satan speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and, say it with me, the what? The father of lies. Who is this Satan? In the Old Testament, we're told that God created this beautiful, wise, brilliant angel by the name of Lucifer. And he became so proud of himself, of his beauty. We read about this in Ezekiel 28, Isaiah chapter 14. He became so proud of himself that he tried to take over God's throne. He wanted to be God. And a result of that rebellion, God kicked him out of heaven forever. And ever since that point, he's become a God's relentless and contentious opponent. But when he got kicked out of heaven, he did not go alone. Look what it says in Revelation 12. The great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, was hurled to the earth. And look at this, his what? His angels with him. The same chapter tells that a third of the angels in heaven were kicked out of heaven because they joined in Satan's rebellion against God. They were cast out. Where did they go? Where were they cast to? They were cast here on earth, and so we deal with all of that evil right here on this earth. Daniel chapter 10 indicates that Satan has his demonic angels placed geographically all over the world. Now, often we're talking about an athlete like in the NBA, like the greatest players. We talk about their signature move. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, his signature move was a sky hook. Michael Jordan was a fadeaway. Magic Johnson was a no-look pass. Steph Curry is a Curry slide. From the very beginning, Satan has a signature move, and here it is. He lies. He lies. And you need to know his agenda. Jesus tells us in John 10, he says, Satan, here's his agenda. All of his angels, here's their agenda. Here it is. They come only to do what? Say it with me. Only to steal and what? Kill and what? Destroy. Now, the good news is this. Jesus has ultimately defeated Satan. In Matthew chapter 25, he talks about eternal fire prepared for Satan and his angels. Revelation 12 says that Satan has been defeated by the blood of the Lamb. The cross of Jesus Christ defeated Satan. Amen, church? That's good news right there. You go, okay, so if he's been defeated, what in the world is he doing right now? He's fighting. He's waging war. Against who? Against you. Against me. They are fighting. Satan and his angels are fighting to steal our peace and steal our hope, steal our joy, and steal our mental health. They're like a basketball team that's been mathematically eliminated from a tournament. And they're out, but they're trying to play the role of the spoiler. They're trying to eliminate the chance of anybody else making the playoffs. Satan hates the Creator God. He can't destroy the Creator God. So what does he do? He tries to destroy God's creation. Question. Who is the crowning achievement of God's creation? Who is it? It's you. It's you. Every single one of you. Someone needs to hear that today because you have such a low view of yourself. Either because of negative thoughts that you keep telling yourself, or because what someone said to you or what someone did to you, you need to know that you are the crowning achievement of God's creation. You may not have a high view of you, but God has a high view of you. You may not believe in you, but God believes in you. And Satan hates you. And he's doing everything he can to destroy you. You have a spiritual enemy who is a father of lies. And he's working overtime trying to affect you mentally with those lies, for you to believe those lies. So the second takeaway is this. Satan is trying to convince you of some lies about you, especially how it relates to your mental health and your self-talk as it relates to the weeds in your garden. The number one lie, one of the lies I want to share with you is this. We say this, my issue is my identity. My issue is my identity. Some of you are starting to find yourself as the issues you're grappling with. You're saying to yourself, this is who God says I am. And God's like, no, that's an issue you're wrestling with, but it's not who you are. But Satan blurs the lines with us. You are your issue is what he says to you. That's who you are, and that's who you'll always be. And we'll call it negative self-talk, but I believe there's a spiritual enemy behind it. So do any of these things sound familiar? When you've told yourself, I'll never be happy. I've told myself that before. That's not true. It feels true, but it's not true. I'm not enough. That's not true. God says that you are a valued son or daughter of him. That his image is stamped into the core of your being. Some of you say, well, I'm worthless. Jesus would say otherwise. Jesus would say, you are worth me going to the cross for you. It says in Colossians 1 that Jesus, it says that everything is made by him, for him, through Jesus. And Jesus would say this, if you were the only person on the planet, Jesus would still die for you. That's how worth it you are to him. And yet we believe that I'm worthless. Some of us say I'm a burden, everyone would be better off without me. That feels true, it's not true. It feels true, but it's not. Maybe you're thinking right now, I'm just going to fail again, just a matter of time. You have all these lies in your head. And the reason why the father of lies wants to convince you that your issues are your identity is he's trying to destroy and dismantle and disable the image of God in you. That's what he's doing. I mean, come on, think about it. I mean, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, for those of you who've done that, think about it. You're standing with God is cemented forever. But Satan wants to convince you that you don't have that standing with God, that you are your issue. And he's trying to brainwash you out of the image of God. He wants to destroy it. Satan's trying to convince you that if you begin to think of yourself as your issue, listen, you'll begin to convince yourself that this is the way that God views you and God feels about you and God thinks about you as well. Instead of the fact that you actually are a valued daughter of the Lord God Almighty. Something does not need to be true to destroy your life. It just has to be believed. So don't believe his lies. Your issues are not your identity. The second lie that many of us believe is this, and that is, I am my diagnosis. Abigail Shire wrote a book called Bad Therapy. She says, among younger generations, they're beginning to refer themselves as their diagnosis. They say something like, well, I am anxious, I am depressed, I am clinically, you know, imbalanced. Listen, you are not your diagnosis. Satan is crafty. He'll lie to you through the different four buckets, four roots of our mental health issues, the weeds in our garden. He'll lie to you in the situational category by convincing you that you'll never get past your past, that you are what you've done, that this season you're in will never stop, or you didn't just go through a divorce. He'll say to you, you are a divorce. He'll just lie to you in the situational, the medical, the biological, even the spiritual realm. Satan has already whispered in some of your ears right here in this service. Some of you right now listening to me online. He's whispering to you right now. While you're sitting there, he's saying this like he said to me before. You're such a fraud. How can you go to church and sing the songs and lift your hands in worship when you know what you did last night? You're such a hypocrite. He'll say to you, how many times have you told God you wouldn't do that thing, but you did it again? Man, God is so sick and tired of your nonsense. And then he'll say this, you might as well reject God. Like he said to me before, you might as well walk away from the church before anybody else discovers who you really are and reject you because you're a failure, you're not okay, you're damaged goods if people only knew. Look at me right now in the eyes. Look at me in the eyes. Listen. Those are lies. Those are lies from the pit of hell. And you need to call them out. And the only way to counter the lies and the accusations of the enemy is with the Spirit of God, with God's truth. You defeat Satan's lies, listen, with God's truth. God's truth is the only antidote against the lies of the enemy. And here's the deal. You got to recite them again and again and again and again in your mind and ruminate on them. Well, what's God's truth about you? Here's what we do. Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is, say it with me, whatever is what? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what do you do? Say it with me, church. What do? You think about. You think about again and again and again those things. He's saying dwell on what is true. Over here, you see, I've got some black ping pong balls here, and they represent all the lies of the enemy. Because the truth is, man, we get filled up in our mind. If this is our mind right here, we get filled up all the time with worries about this and that. I got worries about my kids and worries about my marriage. And they just, all these negative thoughts just keep going in our head. We get filled up with fear from, especially from the news media, you know, about the economy and this country's going to attack us and what's going to happen next. All these negative thoughts about anxieties that we have about our own health issues. And all of a sudden you've got what's going on in Washington, D.C. It's just crazy over there. And is anything going to be stable again? And my issues are my identity. And I am my diagnosis. And man, there's an earthquake again. And somebody got, you know, killed doing this and that. And there's a tornado. And all these negative thoughts just keep flooding our mind. I'm not good enough. I am what people said about me. And all these negatives. It's like, what do I do? Paul says, when this is all in your mind, you stop. And what you do is you pour God's truth in your mind. I start focusing on what is true and what's admirable and what's praiseworthy and what's excellent. I just start focusing on God's truth. And over time, what happens is God's truth is important to me because many of us are like, man, I've been coming to church. I'm not feeling it yet. What you need to do is keep going. You're like, I've been to Welcome RCC. I'm going to Welcome RCC. Go, keep going, get in a life group. Because what happens is we focus on God's truth. All these negative emotions, this is going to be crazy. Everybody watch out. All right, here comes some balls your way. All these negative feelings come rushing out of our soul as we pour God's truth in our life. And all of a sudden, we're filled up with the love and truth of God. And all those lies are out. So you have to constantly focus on what is true. Because, man, Satan is going to come and start attacking your mental health. He's going to say to you, you're weak. And you fight back with God's truth that says, well, actually, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30, it says that in God I am strong. And then when Satan comes with lies and says to you, you know what, you're a failure. You fight back with the truth of God that says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, you know what, I am more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And when the liar suggests that you're a reject, you fight back with the truth that says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, in Jesus Christ, I am accepted. And the liar suggests that you're not very important at all. You push back with God's truth that says no. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, in God, I am his treasure possession. And then the liar suggests that you're unloved. You fight back with God's truth that says, according to 1 John verse 3, verse 1, it says that God loves me so much that he made me his child. And I just want to encourage you right now, we got to continue to focus on the truths that come in, because the lies are on the attack. They want to absorb in our mind, embed in our mind. We have to fill it with the truth of God. That's why right there on your seat next to you, I want you to grab this right here. Because you'll see the truth of God counter to the lies of Satan. Lies of Satan are, you're a sinner because you're sin. But guess what? God's truth in Jesus, you are a saint declared righteous by God. That Satan's lies is this: your identity comes from what you've done. But guess what? God's truth is this: your identity comes from what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. Amen. So we got to focus on the truth to cast out the lies. I want you to flip this around right here. All these scriptures that continue to push back the lies of the evil one. And what I want you to do is, some of you, you've got an area on here that really resonates with you, and there's a truth of God that connects with that. You might want to put that scripture on the back screen of your phone. So when you look at your phone, you see that scripture right there, the truth of God, to remind you who you are in Jesus Christ. You might want to put this on a mirror, you know, so every time you're brushing your teeth in the morning and at night, man, you're focusing on God's truth. You might want to put this next to your kid's bed so you can start reading this over them every single night, because guess what? Satan is coming for your kids. He's coming for your grandchildren, the same areas. Amen. We gotta arm them too. Maybe what you do is put this in a Ziploc bag and hang it in your shower. So you're taking your 15-minute shower. You're focused on God's truth. If you're like my kids, maybe it's a 45-minute shower. Anyway, it's a whole other sermon. But I want you to, once again, keep focusing and ruminating and thinking about God's truth so we can push back the lies of the evil one. Here's the truth. Many of us, before we go down the road of these specific topics that we're going to be hitting in going into in this series, many of us need to be released from the lies of Satan that he's been feeding your mind by reciting the truth of God about you. That's what you need to do. You need to push back, release the lies of the enemy by feeding your mind and reciting the truth of God about you. I want you to stand. Everybody, please stand right now. While you're standing, I want to tell you this. There's a site that we have on our website at riverchristian.church/mental health. And I want to encourage you, if you know someone like you maybe need counseling, or you know someone who does, or right now you know someone going through depression or having suicidal thoughts, that site is a great resource. So if you're in the room, I want you to make sure you know about that website. We're continuing to build it, riverchristian.church/mental health. Maybe you're watching online from another state. Once again, a lot of these resources can be used even nationally. So I'd encourage you to go there if you're looking for some help for yourself or for somebody else. But right now, I want to just kind of have a moment of vulnerability. In a moment, our team's going to come up here and worship, and then we're going to have our prayer team is going to go to the crosses. In just a moment, I want you to come up here and get prayer. Use our prayer team right now, and you just come up, and all you have to do is say this: I need some release from, and you fill in the blank. I need release from, what is it? What is that for you? For some of you, it would be shame. It'd be guilt. For some of you, it's anger. I'll be transparent. For me, it's bitterness. I need release from bitterness from somebody right now, and I need God's help in that. Maybe I need release from my past. Because what I did or what somebody did to me or said about me, I need to be released right now from the lies I keep believing about me. I don't know what it is, but right now, in just a moment, we're going to be worshiping. And you just come up and you just go to them and say, I need to be released from. You just say one or two words, and then our prayer team is going to say a short prayer over you. And then somebody, they'll pray for somebody right behind you, okay? So I want to encourage you, every one of us need this. I know I need it in my life. I need prayer in my life, and some of us have not had prayer in that area for a very long time. You came in here carrying a burden. You came in here carrying something very heavy. So right now, why don't you have God take it from you? Just say, God, I need to be released from this. And you can walk out of here confident, knowing that you are a son or daughter of the King and he's with you. And I want to remind you once again, if you've never been baptized, never given your life to Jesus, you need to commit to that. We have our baptism week coming up. Just go to riverchristian.church/baptism, QR code that. Encourage you right now to take that step, because I can't think of a day in my life when I knew I was clean. I knew that God had taken away everything from me when I got baptized. You've never had that experience? That needs to be your next step. But right now, we're going to worship together, and you just come up here, and you just simply say the sentence, I need release from, and if people are in your way, I promise they'll move. You just start working your way, and people will let you out in the aisles, and you just walk up here, and I promise you they'll pray for you, and then they'll pray for the person behind you. I need to be released from. What is that for you? Why don't you get prayer about whatever that is right here, right now? Don't leave this room without getting prayer. Let me pray over you right now, then we'll worship. God, this is a complex issue that we're talking about when it comes to weeds in our garden. There's a side of us that wants to ignore the spiritual ramifications of this and make it all medical or clinical or even situational. And Father, I thank you for the reminder today that there is one, Lord, that's trying to put things in our heads. His focus is to steal and kill and destroy us and our mental health. And Lord, we get tangled up in believing his lies at times, and I thank you that we have a way to fight back. Lord, we think about the truths that you give us about who we really are. I thank you that Satan has been defeated. I pray that we will fight with the spiritual weapons that we have. I pray that those who need prayer, which is most of us, will not be afraid to come right now and ask as we worship together, as we seek you, as we ask you right now to restore our mental health in the name of Jesus, we pray. The whole church said, amen. Won't you come right now as we worship? I need to be released from what? Just come right now as we worship together. Please come.